Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher and website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. And we're going to talk today about a process that I've developed called Up with Gravity, which is utilizing the gravitational force to stand, sit, and move more easily. We've done an initial interview about the first three lessons in that process, and we're going to talk today about the next three, which in which a new element is introduced, specifically a conscious, deliberate lifting of your center of gravity. And we're going to talk about Imogen's own experiences with that, her experiences working with her students, and then we're going to talk a little bit about why it's useful to lift your center of gravity and how it fits in a bit with some Alexander ideas. Imogen, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Robert.
Well, you've been here so often. So.
I know. I was going to welcome you as well.
Yes. Would you like me to start by describing a little about this lifting process?
Sure.
Basically, in the first set of lessons in the earlier interview we did, we figured out a good way to locate your center of gravity, whether you're standing or sitting. It's a little different when you're sitting. And then to use that information to move more easily using some very simple images. The problem with our center of gravity being that it's an infinitesimally small point, and certainly our overall center of gravity is not located anywhere near a useful marker of any kind. And the next step in this process is that once you've become familiar with that directing of your center of gravity, you can start to use it more proactively. That is, use your center of gravity more proactively by actually lifting it. The amount of lift is never going to be more than a tiny fraction of an inch, and the amount of effort you put into lifting it can be very small, or it can be fairly large. I definitely would start with very small lifts at first, and for very short periods of time until you become comfortable with it. And it's really just a clear intent, after you've connected with your center of gravity, to lift it up or to pull it up. You could use that term too. And your body somehow figures out how to do that. Maybe I should start, Imogen, by asking you, did you have that experience that intent, in fact, brought about a lift?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had to be very clear about what I was lifting, as in the center of gravity and nothing else. I mean, obviously things do lift, but what I mean by that is that I'm not using any sort of upper body stuff, neck, shoulders.
Right.
You know.
Although they may move.
Things may change, but mm-hmm. the actual sort of action mm-hmm. is going on right down there, sort of in the abdominal lower abdominal area around where the center of gravity roughly is.
And that's for standing. When you're sitting, yes. It's more or less at the level of the base of your sternum.
Yes.
Although it's a much iffier thing to identify it precisely in sitting for various reasons. But for standing, 2 inches below your navel is pretty accurate for most people. Yeah, so you didn't have any trouble with the actual lifting process.
No, and it was actually quite, you know, surprising to me that it didn't really involve anything else, because, you know, like a lot of people, I'm very prone to tensing my neck and doing other stuff that might not be quite so healthy for me, you know. And it really, as long as I was very clear about what I was doing, it really didn't involve any of that. And in fact, I've kind of come to realize that if this sort of lifting, which seems to kind of give a more sort of sturdy support to that area, it's almost like the rest of me can just really rest onto it better. I don't know how to describe that.
Often what happens if you have been doing a little holding in your shoulder, say, or your neck, when you lift your center of gravity, that holding lets go.
Yeah, it's almost like it's got something more solid to be able to release onto.
Exactly.
So that's been quite a nice surprise for me.
And have you then used the lifted center in things like walking or sitting, so on?
Yeah, absolutely. I go for an almost a daily walk, and that's often a time where I try and bring it in at other times as well, but that's a time when I'm sort of more consciously intending to work with myself. It's very useful, and things get easier. I mean, there's more tone, definitely more tone and more engagement down there. I mean, something's happening. This is not just thinking and not doing anything.
And the beauty. Yeah, go
easier.
Ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, everything else becomes a little bit easier.
Right. So you are expending a little energy with that lift. There's no getting around that. But at least in my experience, the overall amount of energy that you're expending to, say, stand or walk or move in some other way is reduced.
Yeah.
So you're redistributing what's working a little more balanced against some stuff that's working less, which probably shouldn't have been working that much in the first place. So, for example, if your pattern might be to walk around with somewhat lifted shoulders, that's work to lift your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And if you lift your center of gravity a bit and those shoulders release, then probably overall you're doing less work, although you're certainly doing some conscious work.
Yeah. And it seems to me the work, if you want to term it that, or the muscular effort, I guess, which I guess is what we mean by work, that's going on is maybe in a more appropriate place.
Yes, that's another, right. I think that's another way of saying that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Rather than where we don't really want it, or where it could actually, for some people, become painful, you know.
Exactly. And how have you explored this with your students?
Yeah, I have with two or three of them, and it's useful, and it's a sort of a departure from usual Alexander technique teaching, because we're actually asking people to do something with effort. But it has definitely been useful, and especially today I was working with a student who was actually said to me that she was actually trying to hold her stomach in. I'd already introduced the basic concepts of center of gravity and how to locate that with an image, and you know, as you suggest in your first three lessons. So I thought, well, this is a really good opportunity to introduce the lift, and it might help her get that tone she wants, because that is another sort of nice additional benefit to this work, is that it definitely are toning this area. You know, things are not sagging down as much. It does look a little bit nicer. So
it usually does.
But yet you're not sort of sucking in your stomach in some sort of inappropriate way that distorts your body. So we worked on the lift, and she thought it was great, because she was getting that sort of tone that she wanted in the stomach area, but yet she was not doing all her stuff with her shoulders and her neck, and you know, so I think it worked very well with her. She was moving better with it. So, you know, and I did obviously be sure that it didn't need to be excessive, and she didn't need to be holding on to this. And, a key thing maybe to look at is how her breathing was going. And as long as breathing was easy, then that was a pretty good indicator that she wasn't sort of overworking.
That's a great indicator. I think Walter Carrington once said, he's a well-known Alexander teacher in London who's died a few years ago, once said to a group of us, well, if your breathing's going well, chances are everything else is.
Yeah.
So breathing's a great indicator. And quite often when one of the first things they notice when they lift their center of gravity is that their breathing gets fuller and freer.
Yeah, I actually noticed that myself when you introduced it to me the first time. That I was kind of quite surprised that I actually, a response was to have a really full breath, which maybe wouldn't be what you expect from doing an exercise like that.
Is there anything else you want to say about your experiences or your students' experiences before we talk a little more generally about the process?
I guess just to say that it's, to be, I think for most people to be very clear that this doesn't need to be an excessive amount of lifting up, especially not starting out. I did work with one student of mine who has lower back issues, and she immediately went to sort of tightening her lower back. So I really had to, and I think you'll get into this in later lessons, that it's it really is more in the abdominal area that stuff is going on rather than in the back, I would say. And I really helped her with using some Alexander technique directions to help it be more appropriate. And that worked very well for her. So,
well, the amount that you lift your center of gravity can be very small, especially at first. I recommend that. But after a while, once someone's become thoroughly familiar with it and has used it in various activities, there comes a point when they can, if they so choose, max out and lift it as much as they're capable of, which is, real work in that area. But again, if they're just lifting their center of gravity, other things change, but the direction of those changes is usually towards more release or a different way that your legs are supporting you, for example. Mm. People often notice that their weight now transfers down to the floor in a different and more efficient way. So other things do change. But so after a while, you could do short periods of fairly intense lifting once you thoroughly explored the lighter versions of it.
Yeah, I've really just been in the mode of introducing it recently, so we haven't quite got to those later stages yet. But yeah, I can see that in myself for sure.
So maybe that kind of segues into a little discussion of maybe a very short discussion of how this fits in with something like the Alexander technique, which doesn't really seem to be about doing things so much as not doing things. And here we are actively lifting center of gravity. And I guess I would say I would regard it as a kind of an exercise. Mm-hmm. We certainly don't tell people not to run or to play basketball or, carry objects around their house. They're doing things that could be viewed as physical activities that require some work. And what I think this is doing is you are lifting, you are doing some work, but you're doing it in the context of what your actual daily activities are. So we started with standing and went into walking. You're lifting your center of gravity to stand and then take that into a walk. You get a very different kind of work or muscular tension than you would if you simply said, well, I'm just going to tighten my abs.
Exactly. I agree.
And it's very easy, actually, to note, to sense that in yourself. If you put a hand on your belly just below your navel, palm of your hand in that area, and experiment with pulling your stomach in or tightening your abs or what, however you might traditionally do that, and then compare that to what happens when you lift your center of gravity, you'll see a certain overlap, but there's a real sense of an upward movement in that lift. It's a directed lift.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it has a very different sense to it. So the direction, of course, is up, which is a pretty classic mm-hmm. Alexander direction. Bringing the Alexander technique into this, and for our listeners who are not familiar with the Alexander technique, I wouldn't worry about any of this, but for those who are, I think it's compatible in the sense that it does help you move, stand, sit, and move more easily, which is certainly what the Alexander technique is about. And in the following set of lessons, which we haven't come to yet, basic Alexander directions will reassert themselves very nicely, and I think any concerns about lifting and doing will be mitigated by that. I guess that's as far as I can say right now.
Yeah, I agree. And it just, as I mentioned to you earlier, after I worked with my student this morning, I for some reason remembered Deborah Kaplan's book, Back Trouble. Deborah Kaplan was an Alexander Technique teacher and a physical therapist, and she wrote a very nice book on using the Alexander Technique to help your back, which also included some exercises, I guess, from her physical therapy background. Mm-hmm. And but she writes, and I thought this just very much tied into what this whole center of gravity and lifting this center of gravity does for us. She writes, the lower back has no greater friend than these impressive, that's abdominal muscles, but they are often inadequately used. The abdominal muscles are a natural corset because they are perfectly constructed to give support. Mm-hmm. No matter how dissatisfied you may be with the performance of your abdominals, let me assure you that they are capable of doing a good job. And she goes on later in the book to give an exercise, which she says is the purpose is to train the abdominal muscles to support the lower back. And she says it's good to do this exercise frequently during the day, and the muscles will gradually get accustomed to giving more support. So this is kind of going into the same area. And so this is just in a standing position. The instructions are to gently tighten the lower abdominal muscles below the navel sufficiently to decrease the arch in your lower back. And it just seems to me that's getting into the same sort of area.
I think
it
is.
Center of gravity.
Yes. Is 2 inches below your navel. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's not using the words lift, and she's not got center of gravity, which I actually think make it easier to do what she's asking. And then she's inviting the person to who's doing this exercise to lengthen their entire spine. So I think also if you add in the thought of the center of the gravity and you're just lifting up, you get a lengthening of the spine without having to try and do it in any way.
Right. In general, if you're doing any kind of self-direction, whether it's sort of traditional Alexander self-direction or lifting your center of gravity, you want to keep the number of self-directions to an absolute minimum, because there's only so many available memory slots in our brain to do that. And for most people, doing 2 directions at the same time is way trickier than twice one would be. So by lifting your center of gravity, which, as you were saying, kind of takes care of those secondary things, you make for a much more efficient process, because you really only have to mentally have one clear intent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's very nice. It sort of was an interesting that it gets right. And it was also interesting that I believe you sort of started to come up with this whole system at a time when you had a back injury.
It came right out of a back injury.
And this is something that she said was very important for anyone with back trouble, to really have this good support. So it all seems to just sort of tie in. Yeah,
I mean, in my case, the injury was an S3, I believe, S3, S4, which is very close to our center of gravity. It's right in front of S2, I believe, for most people. And I started thinking about how could I take pressure off my spine in that area, because it was a pinched nerve. And then I realized, well, my center of gravity was pretty close to that. What would happen if I lifted it? That's kind of the original thought process. And then I thought, well, how would I do that? You know, and on and on. And eventually I just realized you just had to know where it was and have the intent of lifting it. So yeah. I would say that the question of, say, why you would want to lift it, another way of answering that question would be that, in general, what you're really doing by lifting it is reversing an earlier pulling down of some kind. I mean, when you go into a slump, of course, your shoulders sink into themselves. But your center of gravity drops as well at the same time. Yeah. And so one way of getting a little opening, say, in your upper torso would be to lift your overall center of gravity. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Is there anything else we should touch on?
Well, I just wanted to touch on, I didn't really mention it specifically, is working with, in sitting, working with my sort of what is the upper center of gravity?
I'm calling it seated center of gravity
seated center of gravity, the one that's sort of just below the sternum.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of computer work, and I find this really useful. Well, one, just locating it's very useful, but adding that sort of little lift just helps me. Again, it seems to help my shoulders rest more easy. It helps me move back and forth. In a more sort of integrated way without, I don't know, I found that very helpful for sitting at the computer particularly. Yeah.
And for most of us, we tend to put the most harmful pressure on ourselves in sitting as opposed to standing or lying down. Sitting really does a lot of people in. Mm-hmm. And this is an incredibly simple thing that you can use. And in a couple of the lessons of this series, I show how you can use this in a very unobtrusive way. You don't have to call attention to yourself. You might be at a meeting or watching a movie or something where you can't really do a lot of large movements, but you can very gently lift and very perhaps a tiny bit move your torso with that lifted center, and it can make a gigantic difference in how you function.
I've noticed that in myself too, especially sitting in a chair, which I hadn't realized. I'd sort of let my back sort of just slightly contort to the arrangement of the chair, but just getting in touch with that central point helped me not to be lured by the back of the chair.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Airplanes are a great place to use that too. Well, maybe this would be a good place to bring this conversation to an end. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay. So my guest today has been Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. And we've been talking about the second set of lessons in the Up With Gravity series. And these lessons all involve some lifting of your center of gravity, the relevant center of gravity. In the our next conversation on this general topic will be about the final three lessons, where Alexander directions reassert themselves very, very nicely. They should come out later this year, hopefully. Imogen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here.